Hello, hello, and welcome to the Color Scene Podcast. I am your host, Kieran Brennan, with me as always my co-host.
The man that Unitas forgot, Rain. Kieran, smooth. That was really good. I like that. That was very smooth.
getting better every week.
Yeah, getting better every week, just like the weather, Kieran. First things first, the weather has been beautiful the last few days. Mini summer in February, as we usually in Ireland, if people are listening from Ireland, we usually kind of get that mini summer in Ireland where, like, in February it turns into like really good weather. Usually it goes downhill afterwards, but I'm going to enjoy it while it's here. I went up to a big devil's castle in the mountains that I can see from my window right now with the dog the other day, and I enjoyed every single second of it for my mental health. It was fantastic. Did you enjoy it? It's been nice having longer days, Kieran, hasn't it? It seems like there's kind of something to stay positive for.
It's good for the mental health.
It is very good for the mental health to have like that extra hour of light. And yeah, I brought Buster up to, he didn't want to go up the mountain at first, but then he loved it. But it's a really it's a really cool story. The Hellfire Club is like, for those who, a lot of, some people in like America even know about it, it's kind of like that kind of legend where it's meant to be like the scene of satanic rituals back in the day, and if you walk around the castle a couple of thousand times, the devil appears. So I was waiting for Glenn Jacobs to arrive to tell me about parlor and right wing shit, but Kane never showed up, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed the light. Even though I've been in work there, I've really enjoyed the sunny weather. It just makes you feel so much better. And
yeah,
kind of walking, like going on walks and runs are going to be a lot nicer with less layers and stuff. So yeah, that's the positives. Well, me and Kieran have been talking about this all day, and if you follow me on Twitter, you've probably seen it. And if you're Irish, then you've definitely seen it. We're going to talk about the kind of, I remember, Kieran, do you remember a few weeks ago, a few months ago, when the whole America kind of, the kind of protests and the march on the kind of Capitol was happening, and the cases were rising in America, and Ireland was kind of doing okay with COVID, and we kind of thought we were in a good place, and England was struggling, and we thought we were in a decent place, and kind of the best of a bad bunch, essentially. It's completely flipped on its head. America under whether that be Joe Biden's guidance or someone can create, but I don't know what's changed, but they have got 70 million people vaccinated. They are ready to open up.
They really got 70 million vaccinated.
Well, there's been a lot of, I don't know the exact number, but there's been a lot of people vaccinated. They're ready to open up the country. England have this 21st of June. Do you see the memes all going around? But like, they're really seriously considering like opening up the country on the 21st of June and people being back to normal. And I don't know how to even begin this, Kieran. Will I just give the background to kind of how we built up to this moment, and then we'll get into
it.
Yeah. All right. So basically, everyone, if you follow the podcast, back in December, right, we were doing okay. We about 20 cases a day, I think it was. It was like quite low. We had basically done this thing where we had gone into lockdown to have a good Christmas, and we kind of did that, and we went into Christmas and we were allowed out. I went to make my college friends for the first time. We all met family members. Social distancing and masks were still in effect, but a lot of people took liberties with the new rules. And post-Christmas, it kind of exploded and there was a lot of cases. And we went back into a tier 5 lockdown, which is basically 5 kilometers, essential travel, et cetera, et cetera. And this is where it's important, because yes, the government have done the best job they can, but they have made a lot of mistakes. Micheál Martin announcing the 9-week lockdown to a tabloid newspaper at 11 p.m. instead of addressing us publicly was one of them. So he announced
the vaccine has been fairly botched so far, although it seems to be getting better.
Yeah, the one-shot vaccine seems to be doing quite well, and I've heard today that they're monitoring this kind of green card situation. I don't know if you've seen this. I know this is off topic, but if you notice, like, if you get vaccinated, you'll get a green card and you can use hotels, restaurants, and gyms. Which would be great, because the anti-vaxxers won't have their green card and it'd be kind of a fuck you to them. And obviously people who get vaccinated can start living their lives normally again. Normally being whatever you interpret as normal. But back to the story. Okay, so basically 9-week lockdown was announced. And a lot of, in America, because a lot of our viewers our listeners are American, you guys had the kind of anti-lockdown protests, mostly from right wing. Well, a lot, like, in America, it's kind of the right wing and the left are quite, like, just both bad. Like, it's not, one is better than the other, but the right wing were kind of prevalent because of Trump. And there was these anti-conspiracy, there was conspiracy theories, these QAnon conspiracy theories, these lockdown conspiracy theories, the COVID conspiracy theories. And Ireland thought, like, ah, oh, that's a different country. But unfortunately, it's reared its, I mean, it's reared its ugly head here, because there was a protest organized. I can't remember. It must have been a Facebook event, because that's how they get out here. But
it's, there was Instagram a load. I've been blocked from a lot of anti-lockdown pages over the last week. Any social media, really.
Yeah, all right. So, basically, a protest happened in Dublin the other day, and it got violent. It got, there was just scenes of a guy rapping outside the GPO as if he was the second coming of Padraig Pearse, people rapping outside, like, famous monuments, people protesting, and then it turned violent, and people were firing fireworks at police officers. There's an OTT fan who's a police officer. I won't name anybody because I don't want that, that's not in my place and time. But he saw people who got seriously injured due to this, and it turned violent, and it's going to rise cases, and it just shows a complete lack of unity in the country. The 9-week lockdown will likely be extended because of this, and this is hilarious because they are protesting against the lockdown, but they're basically, what they're achieving is a longer lockdown. And me and Kieran are like, I've spoken to a lot of people. I was sitting there doing my college work yesterday, Kieran. I'll let you give your opinion on this in a minute. I was sitting there doing my college work yesterday, quite happy because I had a good night ahead, you know, watching wrestling with friends and having a few drinks. And this just hit, and I had the worst mood I could ever imagine. I was so angry. Like, genuinely, I was watching all the stories, looking at all the stories and watching the scene. Made me so angry, and then it just kept snowballing and snowballing. And we'll get on to why this is a fucking joke in a minute, but it's quite clear why it's a joke. And I don't know what did you think when you saw the scenes, Ken? I was wondering. I thought you were just really angry, and that was what the silence was. I was like, "Gee, we're about to get." All right, everybody. You probably heard me talking about what happened when I found out about saw the scenes during the protest. We're not going to make any special edits. Kieran cut out, but I'm just going to ask him again. Kieran, I was sitting there doing college work, ready for a decent evening, while having a few drinks, watching the wrestling. I knew the protest was going on, but as soon as I saw the scenes and the consequences and a lot of the stuff that was going on and the comments being made, it ruined my mood for the day, and it kind of just made me feel really, really sick, like sick to my stomach. There's a lot of reasons why this is fucking wrong, and we'll express our opinion now. But Kieran, how did you feel when you saw this going on?
I knew there was a protest happening. I assumed it would be, because I think there was one a few months ago, and about 20 fucking people show up. But the first thing I saw was that video on Twitter of a fella just shooting a firework at the guards, and then the guards kind of like, you know. Rightfully enough, I suppose.
He ran a fucking way. The prick ran away and he was wearing white, which is stupid in itself. If you're gonna be a criminal, be a fucking smart one and wear something that's not gonna make you stand out in a crowd. But thankfully he was easily identifiable, and I hope he was part of the 23 people arrested. But yeah, go on.
Not only is that how I first found out about it, but just before then, like, I had to find that video in the replies of a Twitter video where someone had posted that same thing, but edited out the part where the guards were attacked and trying to suggest that the guards had just randomly decided to rush and attack these protesters. Weird false narrative that you just know has been spread all over Facebook over that. Like, people wouldn't come.
Yeah. Sorry for breathing into the mic there. I have a lot to get off of my... Yeah, I saw people dancing, singing, rapping about God knows what. With Irish flags was a really fucking annoying thing as well. You are not doing this for your country. But the one thing I was really annoyed about was the people who came out and said, the people who were violent at the protest today, thank you for ruining a peaceful protest. Fuck you. If you stepped foot on Grafton Street that day, you are a dickhead. No peaceful protest. No protest about this lockdown is peaceful or respectful. You are fucking... It's a huge fuck you to the nurses, to the people who have died, to the people who have lost family members, and to the people who can't see their family members. My nana fell the other day and I couldn't see her. It's a huge fuck you to a lot of people. And to go on your high horse and go, well, we weren't the people who were violent. And the violent people ruined our peaceful protest. You weren't there for a peaceful protest. Get fucked. And that's one of my points.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I hated the people who tried to get a moral high ground by saying they were being peaceful. No, you were not. There was nobody there being... If you stepped foot, you wanted to be... People there just for a laugh with a day out. There were so many people just standing around talking, doing absolutely nothing. They don't care. They don't even know how... They don't... Ask them... You see people going on... They're all the people who go on those late night radio shows who are all talk, but when you ask them for a reason, they have nothing to say.
Nothing. Beyond the word, like, oh, it's our freedom or some shit. Like, it's our constitutional right or whatever the fuck CT Flexer was banging on about.
Well, I'll let you get on to him in a minute. But I just want to say, I'm going to keep them anonymous for this story. But there is, okay, I said student nurses. There's a Beaumont Hospital, I heard a story through student nurses that a lot of the people who are being treated for COVID were put in the same ward as the stroke victims. And student nurses had to be sent home, and student nurses' placement work and their livelihoods and their learning their craft are being ripped away from them because of COVID. People are working 13-hour shifts. Nurses are passing away. Serious mental health issues. And you think just you can go out there and fuck it all up for everyone. When we were so close. The vaccines were coming in. We were finally getting the numbers under control for this lockdown. Like, finally, there was the 1,000 cases a day were going down, and we were kind of getting a... Yes, the government haven't done the best job. They're doing the best job they can. People make mistakes, and we've criticised the government before. But this isn't about the government. This is about idiots and fuckwits who think just because constitutional rights and freedom of speech or freedom that they can go out and... People like Pat Gilroy and whoever, Ben Gilroy and fucking God knows who else can come out there and go. They're going to come out and go, there was 10,000 people at the protest. There was less people there than there was like a football game. And you want to like go out there and say that you're doing this for your better right of your country. Like, that's just a massive fuck you to everybody. Like, everybody. We've been in this for nearly a year now. It's nearly coming up to a year since... About a week or two, it'll be a year. Like, I'm no words anymore. Kieran, you can go in on CT Flexer now. I'm gonna bring up the Irish RTE thing while you talk about CT Flexer, and then we'll get into wrestling in a minute. But yeah, so Irish wrestler CT Flexer attended the protest, and Kieran, you can take it from here because you said you had something to say.
I just fucking want to abuse my constitutional right and tell him to go fuck himself. Like. Such a stupid fucking thing to put on Instagram and probably on Twitter as well, I assume.
It was on Facebook, and he said, I hate wearing masks, but I wore one today. I respect everyone and their family. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, don't try and play the fucking respect card if you're just going to prolong this, you know, pandemic as long as you need to. Like, it's just, I don't understand these people. I don't understand the logic because, yeah, everyone's having a shit time and jobs are suffering from it. But, like, it's just like, if you're going to be frustrated, if you're going to try and point like a, oh, you know, I can't open my hairdressers and I need the money for it. Don't protest the lockdowns. Don't try and say they don't work because they do work. You could just look at the numbers that have risen and gone down over the last few months or whatever, before and after lockdowns. And it's just proof that it works. But don't protest the lockdowns. Try and get like, you know, better benefits or relief packages for COVID. Don't be a fuckwit. Go to a massive, you know, few hundred people protest in the middle of town and then, you know, be mad when fucking this thing gets prolonged again. It's just stupid to me. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I don't understand.
Yeah, and Kieran, does this sound familiar to you definitely, I'm sure you saw the photo of the two women with the badly misspelled anti-RTE jumpers, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does this sound familiar to you? Asked how this was linked to RT, the pair outlined a conspiracy theory that involved babies being killed and harvested for
adrenochrome, which is being used to keep RT celebrities looking young while the corpses are buried under the new children's hospital. The two claimed the government were basically paedophiles and that there was videos explaining this on a website for hosting far-right speakers and conspiracy theories. Sound familiar?
Reen, have you ever seen an RT TV personality? Because they don't fucking look young to me, like.
Oh, dude. Like, the paedophile AGM at the toy show next year is going to be really interesting, according to these cons. Like, that's probably where they, like, restock on blood, is it?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Fucking.
Tuberty's definitely
blood. Oh, man. I mean yeah. Fuck off, man. Honestly, I've just been really, really angry. And hearing the stories of student nurses and just not being able to see people in general, not being able to see grandparents, and yeah, and then this is just a slap in the face. So hopefully, fingers crossed, trying to think positive, fingers crossed this doesn't affect the COVID numbers too much, fingers crossed we can recover from this, and fingers crossed that the one thing is that these right-wing conspiracy theories, they're very unlikely to catch on as much as I say this now. I really hope I'm not wrong. I don't think Ireland will go full blown like America. I really hope there's enough sense to keep this at bay and kind of see us into a kind of a good time when we can get it. But just mom, listen, I still have a GoFundMe link open for Jigsaw Mental Health. With the lockdown seeming like it's going to continue, just I have it open for 2 more days. So I'll put a link in the description if you want to go donate to that. We've raised €300 since last week for Jigsaw Mental Health. Our goal was €200 and everyone banded together and got €300, which was just amazing. And please go, and we are planning a 12-hour live stream for the nurses here in Ireland. So please do go and donate to them as well, because they're going to need it, because fuckwits like this want to put increased strain on the hospital. And I sincerely hope that if any of those people from the protest who got their noses broken or their arms broken or their legs broken showed up to the hospital, I hope they were laughed at and turned away. Like, because they are the reason why the hospitals are overcrowded. You can't go out into a protest where you know it's going to get violent, fuck off if you thought it was going to be peaceful, and got hurt, and you went to the hospital that you are causing to be overcrowded. I really hope you didn't get a bed. I sincerely hope so. And that hate is a strong word, but when it comes to stuff like this, it's very hard not to use it. Yeah, anyway. I think that's an upset. And quick disclaimer before we get on to wrestling. I know there's been a lot of stuff about Progress and indie wrestling in general and the kind of fallout from the Speaking Out movement. If you want to hear about Progress and the full story, I couldn't have said it better. And I couldn't have added anything or said anything better. The people who spoke best about it were the lads from Grapple. Benno, JP and Garrett spoke very clearly and very, very well on the whole situation over at Progress, over on the Grapple podcast on all platforms. I spoke to Benno. Mine and Benno's interview is going to be coming out on the 1st of March. So go and check them out, and they explain it better than we ever could and put it very, very, very clearly, and they're very respectful in their words. So please go and check that out. We will not be discussing it here because me and Kieran aren't educated enough on the Progress issue, and plus it's not our place. They have a very good podcast and they have a very good new Patreon that I've subscribed to. Go and have a look at them. But yeah, let's get on to brighter and greener pastures, Kieran.
Yay.
The Miz. Fuck. Yeah. Kieran, did you watch Elimination Chamber? I'm sure you did, because it's a main roster pay-per-view. Last time we watched it, we watched Elimination Chamber together a few times. But Kieran, this, before we get on to The Miz, I think we'll go in chronological order. This was a show that peaked straight off the bat and then went straight down a fucking cliff.
Yeah, it was kind of weird in that regard.
I knew they were
going to start. I don't think it's going to be awful, but like, that yeah. first match, the SmackDown Elimination Chamber is easily the best.
I loved this. And listen, people are like, everyone was great and all the indie darlings in it, except for Corbin. Listen, Corbin's a decent wrestler and he played his part as well as he can. So I want to get onto this, straight into this. Apologies. The pre-show had Mustafa, because Keith Lee got ruled out because of an injury, or it might have been COVID. I can't really remember. I think it might have been an injury. Mustafa Ali, John Morrison, and Rick Shane Elias fought to be the replacement in that triple threat. Well, I was wondering why they just didn't go for a Riddle and Lashley straight up in a singles. It became very clear later on why they wanted a triple threat match. John Morrison won. He went on to the triple threat. Now this SmackDown Elimination Chamber, Ken. Everybody was fantastic. Cesaro, Daniel Bryan. Cesaro was the MVP for a lot of it, but everybody was brilliant in this match. A lot of these wrestlers can do what they do with their eyes closed. The Jey Uso and Kevin Owens stuff was fantastic. And if that plants a seed for Mania, I loved it. And I'm not, I don't think they want to do too many singles matches, so I don't think it'll happen. But this was just an enjoyable chamber match.
It's always the SmackDown ones as well, isn't it? They always do them really super fucking well.
Well, they built a story. They built a story around the chamber. It wasn't just, everyone hammers on it, and correctly so, this heavy pay-per-view schedule. I don't know why Fastlane is happening. The only thing that's good about Fastlane is that Daniel Bryan's getting a title shot. But, and the fact that Elimination Chamber and Hell in a Cell and all these gimmick pay-per-views that are forced into this calendar, when you build a story, if this was on like a show called like a random pay-per-view called like No Way Out or something, and they didn't have an Elimination Chamber, if they kept the No Way Out model and the model from 2000, because I recently reviewed a few 2000 shows for Rogue Opinions, go check them out. Scott is doing an amazing job. If they built that story and had this main event in No Way Out, brilliant.
Mm.
But sadly, they're being they made two men's chambers, which is a slap in the face to the women's division as well. And one of them was very, very well built, and one of them was just so lazily built and clearly was just a vehicle for what happened at the end. But we're talking about this SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. Kieran, Cesaro is just an absolute specimen. The pull-ups on the Elimination Chamber, they didn't really use the Elimination Chamber much, but a lot of the... talk to me about Cesaro, because this man is just... Everything everyone says about him is just true and 10 times more than what they say.
He's been on this absolute hot streak over the past few months, and it is nice to see him. Where do you think that's going to pay off? Of superhuman strength somehow. I don't know how the fuck he does that. Every week he does something mad.
I'm really, really happy because he's got a Mania feud. I don't know if you saw SmackDown, but that man has a Mania feud that's actually going to be good.
Mania or Fastlane, though?
I really hope Mania. I think it might be Mania. They're building it quite well. Well, let me get that. We'll get onto that in a minute. We'll talk about Elimination Chamber first. So, yeah, Daniel Bryan and Cesaro starting the ring. And, of course, it was fantastic. Kind of flying knee. Corbin came in, obviously, and kind of the heel heat. If there was a crowd, like, you kind of just like, oh, there's Cesaro and Bryan. Oh, there, here's this lone wolf to ruin it. Hit cool deep six. But then Corbin kind of got in his thing. And that. But then... Sami Zayn entered the match and he tried to hold the pod door shut, but Cesaro pulled him out from the other side. Sami Zayn missed a haluva kick and like bashed into Owens, and like Zayn ended up on top of the Jey Uso's pod, and Cesaro just smashed him off the cage and sent him down. Then he did a few pull ups to show off, and then he eliminated Corbin with a sharpshooter, which was fantastic. Corbin's a lot heavier than people think, because that swing wasn't exactly like the fluid Cesaro swing, because Corbin obviously has a lot more mass to him.
He's massive. He used to play football, right?
Yeah, did you see the photo of him like that was released on social media this week, the before, like five years ago?
The type of guy who would vote on the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Award.
Listen to the alleged wrestling podcast, talk about the Meltzer Awards. We're not talking about them this week. I want to talk about it actually, because it's the funniest thing ever. We'll talk about it in the news in a minute, but we had to talk about Elimination Chamber first. Sami Zayn tried to form. Sami Zayn was great, just tactician trying to form a team with Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens destroyed him because, you know, he doesn't trust him. Jey Uso went in, they went right for Owens, and they just had a brawl. Owens eliminated Zayn with a stunner, stunning everybody, but as Zayn left the chamber, this is one of my favorite spots at night, Uso like smashed the door on, crushed Owen's arm, and like hit him with like these really brutal looking super kicks, and basically KO was just out right for the picking. Splash, KO eliminated. KO has been screwed again. Uso kind of went to work on main event. Uso really is like just shown how he's improved, and we'll get on to what.
It's insane, like how far he's come over the last like year, and how much like we just didn't even think that he could be like a solo star at all, and he's now one of the most compelling people on main roster WWE.
Well, he main evented SmackDown this week, and he's main event in SmackDown next week in a steel cage match show.
Ugh.
So we're getting Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso in a steel cage match next week on SmackDown for the main event. Hook that all to my veins. Fuck yes. Daniel Bryan. So Cesaro and Bryan. It was left with the final two. They seem to be liking this final two stay until the end thing quite a bit. Because Cesaro hit a big splash to eliminate. Sorry, he nails it. Sorry. Apologies. They didn't. Cesaro got eliminated with the big splash. And it was Bryan and Uso at the end. And Daniel Bryan hit the running knee for the pin and the win. Fantastic match. Out comes Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns comes out. And coming out like he's the dog's bollocks. No pun intended. Because he's not the big dog anymore. Thank fuck.
He is in my heart. He is.
The chamber lifted up. And Daniel Bryan looked absolutely... This opening sequence was one of the best I've seen in a long time. Where Daniel Bryan, that transition into the yes lock from the ground when he was out cold was brilliant. That moment of, oh shit, Daniel Bryan might actually win this. I'd say, I guarantee, Kieran, I know you. I guarantee you pop for that.
A fucking course I did. And I love that. I love those. I've spoken about it before. That's why I watch wrestling, those moments where you just like, you know it's not going to happen. And if you think about it, you know it's not going to happen. But you believe that it might. And you're really hoping that it might. And this is one of those, for me anyway.
Yeah, and then Bryan got planted with a powerbomb out of it. And then a guillotine choke and the bell went. Right finish. Listen, Daniel Bryan played his part perfectly. I would like to have gone maybe five minutes. But, you know, you can't have them all. A 2.5-hour show as well, which is newsworthy in WWE's books, which it shouldn't be, but, you know, shorter than Raw, which is sad. Okay, as he celebrated his win, okay, Reigns was speared by Edge, and they pointed a sign, and the pyro went off, because the pyro, you know, is always there just in case someone challenges someone for Mania. Kieran, a lot of people are shitting on this kind of Edge and Roman Reigns thing. I think me and you talk quite nicely about it, and I don't mind it, but do you see where people are coming from, where they're like, why is Edge in this position?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I like the storyline, I like when they did it, but also I don't really, like, I'd rather someone else take the title off Roman and not have it be Edge. That's assuming Edge is going to win it all, but like, you know, we've talked about how we'd rather have Daniel Bryan versus Roman at Mania.
Yeah, listen, I'm not as anti this as a lot of people are. Because I trust Edge and Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman and Jey Uso to kind of build a great story. But you know, I can see where they're coming from. I mean, Edge. I would love to see an Edge versus AJ Styles personally, because Edge versus Seth Rollins would have made perfect sense because of the storyline from Edge near the end, is that getting his like paralyzed by Seth Rollins back in the day when he was in the Authority. Maybe we'll get that for SummerSlam. I wouldn't mind seeing that feud in the future, but you know, it is what it is. And if they're going, listen, we can't change it. So we're going to have to, like, if WWE can get us in, if anyone can get us invested, it's SmackDown right now. So I'm going to hold my criticism until it fucks up, if it does. And so far Roman Reigns hasn't. So I'm going to trust them. Which is a very scary thing to do with WWE, but you know, we go for it. But anyway, Edge's intensity was as good as ever. Bobby Lashley versus Riddle versus Morrison. Riddle pins Morrison to win the US belt. Right, they've got an alleged kind of dickhead as their champion, but you know.
Riddle won this. I don't know, I just didn't see it coming for some fucking reason. I don't know, but were you?
Not, well, in hindsight, as in the moment, yeah. I was like, I don't know. I predicted it, though.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
I bet you'll fucking go back and I'll say that I predicted it or some shit.
Now I'm
sitting an idiot saying, like, I never saw it.
I just remembered I said Riddle won. I literally remember tweeting it on the night being like, I think I tweeted about this on our account being like, Rian was right. So, in third person, because I'm a weirdo. But yeah, Morrison was clearly there to take the pin. So Keith Lee was going to take the pin apparently. And So backstage, we had a thing where The Miz was talking to... The Miz got slapped by Bad Bunny. And then he was seen talking to MVP. And everyone was like, oh, Mr. Money in the Bank, you know, what's going on here? So, yeah, we went on to this kind of Riddle one with the bro Derek, you know. Apparently, reports came out this week that Vince McMahon thought he was goofy when he met him. Cool. I don't really want to talk about this match. Bianca and Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair shouldn't have been in a tag team title match. It was what it was.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to do. They're confirmed to fight at Mania, right, as well? That's going to be a match. I'm really looking for that.
Yeah, according to SmackDown and the kind of, they challenged. The Reginald's getting involved in all of this. Listen, it's a bit messy, but, you know, Bianca Belair getting her moment at Mania. I hope they don't ruin it. I really hope this is a fantastic moment for her.
5-0 when it comes to losses at Mania, which is kind of sad, but
yeah.
I really want this match. This is going to be fucking sick, and Bianca better win.
Yeah, and if Bianca wins, it'd be like a huge moment after the Kofi Mania thing to build on the kind of black people doing really, really like historic things at big, really, really big events in companies where previously they were treated quite poorly. So that's really cool. That'd be a really cool moment. And of course, Bianca Belair, I can't wait to see what gear she makes for Mania, because I'm a big fan of someone. If someone makes their own gear, that shows they have passion and they care for the business that they work in. So yeah, 100%, I'm fully in Bianca Belair's corner. And I know Sasha Banks will make a great heel if she turns heel, and that's probably what's going to happen. And then we can
definitely play the heel.
Yeah.
Like, Bianca's just kind of like won everyone over. Just even just with that fucking post-match Rumble win or whatever, which is just so lovely to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan, so I'm really looking forward to it. Right, then we had this, the Raw Elimination Chamber, okay. Kofi Kingston reignited his 15-year feud with Randy Orton by saying he had nice thighs. This match happened. Kieran, do you have any thoughts about this match at all?
I thought it was a decent match. I didn't like hate it or anything. Compared to the other chamber match, it wasn't as exciting. And I guess they wanted to, rather than end it on like a Daniel Bryan not winning the Universal Championship, they had ended on, you know, obviously a Money in the Bank cash in. I assume that's why they put it in. I don't think they thought this match was like technically better.
But... Yeah, so almost went mental and Adam Pearce removed him. Sheamus hit McIntyre with a bro kick towards the end, but Styles hit him with a phenomenal forearm, eliminated Sheamus, and McIntyre, he went for another forearm, and then the Claymore, and McIntyre won. And we were wondering why MVP was talking to the Miz, and as McIntyre celebrated, Lashley came out of nowhere, hit a huge spear, decimated the champion, beat him all around the ring. Miz came. I fell asleep before this main event, I'm not going to lie. I watched it back, but I was just tired. Ran down with a Money in the Bank briefcase, spiked the champ with a DDT, got a two count, but then skull-crushing finale, and The Miz is your WWE champion. And the internet went fucking mental.
A lot more than I thought they would.
Yeah, but listen. What
are your thoughts?
You can say he's doing a good job, and yeah, he is a good heel, and yeah, I'm not the biggest Miz hater in the world. I know, and I know Hoochie Boy from Ringsiders is a big Miz fan, and... I know that. He's not the worst thing in the world. And we'll get on to what happened on Raw, but it seems like there was a deal between Lashley and The Miz and kind of the Hurt Business, because they do business, because they're the Hurt Business and they want to hurt people and make business deals, because that's the gimmick. But yeah, Miz is champion. It does seem like it's going to be transitional. There was, someone did dig up, I think What Culture dug up an Instagram post where it was like, The Miz said, like, if he doesn't main event WrestleMania next year, he's going to quit. I don't think Vince has enough memory to remember that or even checks Instagram posts, so I don't think they'll bring that into a storyline. But yeah, Raw just seems really flat. It's not, I don't want to say bad. I mean, a lot of people do say bad, but I just think it's just flat. It's
bad weekly.
There's just no emotional investment in it, where in SmackDown I can get emotionally invested in the storylines. We'll move on to Raw, where one of the sub stories seems to be that Braun Strowman doesn't get the concept of champions fucking elimination chamber. because he keeps claiming, I was the Universal Champion, and Adam Pearce has to come out and go, yeah, it was a WWE Champions Elimination Chamber. And then Shane O'Mac came out this week. Did you hear this? Shane O'Mac pumped in Shane O'Mac chants. Usually it's just pumped in sound. They literally pumped in Shane O'Mac chants, and you can clearly tell they're from like 2003 when he was somewhat likable. Because, like, oh, this is funny. So Shane O'Mac,
have everyone to bring back.
Oh man, listen, he danced around.
But like towards the end of his last run, people, like, they were not fond of him.
Yeah, so basically Bobby Lashley said, we made a deal and I want a title match. And Braun Strowman was like, I want a title match. But Bobby Lashley was already getting a title match because they made a deal. So they said, Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley in the main event. And if Braun Strowman wins, Bobby Lashley versus The Miz becomes a triple threat. Bobby Lashley won. So this Monday, Kieran, we're getting The Miz versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE title. Now, there's one or two ways that this could go, right? The Miz wins. And they do The Miz versus Drew or The Miz versus anyone at Mania, okay? It's probably the least likely, probably least likely, tied with another one. Bobby Lashley wins and Drew McIntyre comes back at him as a violent babyface and gets his win in front of a crowd.
See, I would say that's the least likely.
Which I think it will. I think they want Drew to get his win in front of a crowd. Or Bobby Lashley wins and Brock Lesnar.
See, I would agree with the Drew getting his moment in front of a crowd, but I also don't think they're going to have him win it a third time in, like, just a few months. That would be such a weird thing to do.
It would devalue the title.
It would devalue the title, and it would make Drew look like a guy who just, like, sometimes just isn't fucking any good. And on top of all of that, we just kind of, I don't know. Do they want to have him? Do they want to, like, give him a third title reign? Like, he's had it for a year. Are they going to keep going with Drew on top?
I don't know. I went back.
I'd be up for that. You know me.
Vince has a hard on for this Lesnar and Bobby Lashley match ever since he discovered what UFC was Remember when Shane tried to get him to buy the UFC?
Fuck! I cannot believe he didn't. I guess it wouldn't be what it was today.
I interrupted you there. What were you saying about Bobby Lashley?
Bobby Lashley Lesnar thing has always been more of a fan booked thing than like an actual like, oh, WWE really want to do this, you know? I don't know. I feel like it's never really been hinted towards.
Yeah.
Like when he came, all the fan speculation that it was going to be Bobby Lashley and whatever his name is, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, now what I can see here is maybe Bad Bunny cost him the belt and then they do Bad Bunny, and Bad Bunny was on Saturday Night Live. I mean, he's more of an asset.
They use fucking the WWE Championship as a prop in the Bad Bunny Miz storyline. Like, there's so weird.
Well, listen, I want to move on to like SmackDown where it was a lot better, but there was nothing else on Raw really. Bobby Lashley versus The Miz this Monday. I think Bobby Lashley might win, but I think they might just do a dip and swerve because everyone thinks that's going to win. But yeah, we'll get on to, we'll talk SmackDown and then we'll go into the news and then we'll talk AEW and NXT and then we'll say goodbye. But yeah, Kieran, SmackDown. SmackDown opened with,
you immediately got so much happier when you just said SmackDown. I think that's so funny.
Man, it's, and with good reason. Like, Roman Reigns kicked off the show, which he should every week. Roman Reigns comes out and SmackDown said SmackDown needs him. He said he kept Edge kept Elimination Chamber being perfect by making their Mania main event official. You don't want it. You don't need that in your life. The head of the table doesn't want to hurt him, blah, blah, blah. Daniel Bryan interrupted and said Reigns called, so some fans called Reigns cowardly for showing up and beating him up after he won the Elimination Chamber. He issued a challenge for Reigns at Fastlane and Jey Uso stepped in, you know, trying to be a hard man saying, you know, you got to go through me. Daniel Bryan was like, okay, main event, Jey Uso versus Daniel Bryan. Simple. Backstage, Edge interrupted Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville being like, why is Daniel Bryan getting a Universal title shot at Fastlane before him, despite being in the same Rumble he won? You know, WWE logic, but it is what it is. The Otis heel turn has fully happened. They squashed Rey Mysterio and Dominic. And Otis isn't speaking with that, like, oh yeah, voice anymore. He just straight up voice being like, you know, we're doing it for the Alpha Club or whatever they're called. What are they called? Alpha Academy. They're doing it for the Alpha Academy. They're kind of
the best.
Yeah, listen, it's basically Chad Gable is in real life Otis's personal trainer, so they're building that into a storyline.
Really?
Yeah. Chad Gable is a former Olympian, remember? So, like, you know. This is very interesting. No longer willing. Now, Kieran, I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, but this is what I like. I don't know where the story's going to go, but this is what I like about wrestling. A few weeks ago, I don't know, you remember, Apollo Crews was on a couch with Roman Reigns, and he was kind of talking to him, and they were in the shot together. Apollo Crews came out this week and said, no longer willing to be someone I'm not. And he embraced his Nigerian heritage of wealth, dominance, and power. And he had like a Nigerian scarf and he was dressed in green and white. Usually this gimmick of my homeland is I'm fine from my homeland and they hate America. It wasn't, first of all, it wasn't they hate. It wasn't anything to do with like, I hate people who aren't my people. It was literally Roman Reigns was talk. Basically, what we're meant to believe is that Roman Reigns told him to embrace his where he's from, and to like, to embrace your heritage and become the leader and the poster boy for your country. And he's doing that. That is good long term storytelling that they don't need to reference. It'd be nice if they referenced it going forward. But this Apollo Crews heel turn needed some character. Do you remember we said he needed a bit of character? And if this is what it is, it makes sense. And yeah, if they run with it, like from you, I don't know if you've seen it, but it just from hearing it from me on face value, what did you think?
I really, really enjoyed it. I think it's. We say this every week. Well, I say it every week with Apollo that his big problem has always been character, and that he's finally showing some. And this is kind of separating him from like everyone else, in a sense. And that he like his character, even when he's showing character, it's always kind of stuck, attached with someone else or whatever. Whereas this is just kind of pure him and something he can run with on his own.
Yeah, and he beat. Nakamura by pulling the scarf, and Nakamura went into the turnbuckle. He won with an angle slam as well. Nakamura wasn't happy afterwards and said he's gunning for the belt. So this is kind of around the time where people say they want the belt, which is kind of like previewing the post WrestleMania kind of lineup of challengers for whoever the champion is coming out of Mania, where like they have to that kind of time, that backlash time. So maybe Nakamura might be that feud. If he can get out of this Apollo feud. But of course, Apollo was gunning for Big E as a home with that injury that we're not going to try and say any again because it's a WWE term. He was injured, that's it. Convalescing at home is what they said. But anyway, Tamina and Liv Morgan, that happened.
It did happen.
It did. Don't think anyone wanted it to. But anyway, Bianca made her choice. I don't mind it because he's a good character, but I just really don't understand why Reginald has all of a sudden just become Sasha Banks' best friend. Well, he thinks Sasha's not interested. Reginald interrupted and was like, you know, you're going to... Bianca talked about how her mom's gave her advice, and Reginald was like, you're going to disappoint your parents. Sasha's going to beat you because she's the best. Sasha told Reginald to fuck off, and... Belair took that as a challenge and accepted that Mania, and the fireworks went off. If this main event's one of the nights, fantastic. What did you think of this segment? And again, we've already discussed Bianca Belair is fantastic, so I'm not complaining.
It should definitely main event one of the nights. I would love that. Because I really do think this match is going to be great. I don't know how the story's going to play out, but match-wise, I really want to see this.
Yeah, and you know, I hope they can kind of build a story now, because they've kind of that tag thing kind of halted the story. They've got a month and a half. They've done well to get the 10th and 11th of April as opposed to the start, so they can build a little bit of story. But yeah, I'm really really looking forward to this, and it was a very good segment, barring a bit of sketchy and very unnecessary Reginald stuff. That's kind of, I don't know what Carmella's doing, but you know, it is what it is. The Street Profits beat Zayn and Corbin. That was basically, I think, to just get a win over, a win back to try and get themselves back up for these tag titles. These SmackDown tag titles held by Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. Listen, these tag titles are, both tag titles are destined for multi-man matches in Mania that no one will care about. Sadly. And the Lucha House Party will be in one of them. But now we get on to the next segment, Kieran. And you know, Rollins' gimmick, you know, this kind of Jesus gimmick, it's not the best. But I love this so much. Seth Rollins came out and addressed the formal complaint he filed last week, and Cesaro interrupted. And Rollins was like, it can all be okay if you just like apologize and kind of see my vision and achieve, and you can achieve success. He implored Cesaro to enjoy him, was like, embrace the vision. The Swiss Superman. Sorry, I'm trying to read off Bleacher Report. I want to actually read it. Cesaro basically just put him on his arse and swung Rollins around while the mic was in his hand. Swung him around, kept going. The mic fell out of Rollins' hand. The jacket fell off Rollins. He was screaming for a while, but then he stopped because he swung about 40 times and just absolutely smashed him with an uppercut. If this builds to a Mania feud, listen, I'm not the biggest fan of Rollins and the current character, but if this is a heel Rollins as a foil to a face Cesaro who will murder you where you stand, yes, please. Because Rollins is a fantastic wrestler. One thing he is a very good wrestler. And like last year with Kevin Owens in the match that they had at Mania that opened the first night, that was very good. This Cesaro versus Rollins, I'm on board. Yeah. And I'm sure you are, because you were taught waxing lyrical about Cesaro, and you've always been one of Seth Rollins' most vocal supporters. From what I remember.
Yeah, you like him. He's fantastic in the ring. His character is a bit iffy, but hey, he's getting there, and he is, as I said, fantastic in the ring. So Cesaro, I'd like to see the finish.
So what would you do with Rollins if you had to like kind of change? So do you think they're just gonna have to stick with this kind of Jesus gimmick, or do you think they can do anything to make him a better heel?
The gimmick was working for a while. Like initially it was pretty cool, and then just kind of totally fell apart. So I personally drop it. I don't think he needs it anymore. They should have brought him back doing something else, but I don't know. There's got to be some... He's a creative guy. Wrestlers are inherently creative most of the time. So I feel like he can definitely come up with something new. They just got to let him.
Yeah, you know. They're not going to let wrestlers do their own creative, but, you know, would help now and again. Cough, cough, John Moxley. Is Universe okay? So Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan, standard Daniel Bryan Jey Uso, very good match until double count out. They just brawled outside. You know, emotions got the better of them, as a W commentator would say. Roman Reigns hit the ring and attacked Daniel Bryan, just beat the shit out of him, and he escaped another lapel lock attempt. I love that. It's like, what's it? Vulnerability, you know, creeping in vulnerability into Roman Reigns. Like, maybe he might get locked in one of these and he won't be able to escape. But the guillotine choke laid out Daniel Bryan, and it was announced on Talking Smack, Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso in a steel cage match next week. Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Very, very good. Then Daniel Bryan went on Talking Smack, as me and Kieran discussed before the show, and pulled out the line at to Paul Heyman, who people are like, maybe these are getting... No, listen, Talking Smack has been fantastic. I don't care what anyone says. Paul Heyman is playing his role perfectly. People are like, he's looking like a bitch. No, he's not. He's a different role to what he was in with Lesnar. He's not a mouthpiece, because he knows if he speaks up, Reigns will correct him. He is just there to provide legal counsel, as he said. If people just get the gimmick, he's not going to speak up for Roman Reigns because he knows he's going to be wrong. It makes sense. Like, yeah, that's the interpretation I'm getting from it anyway. So Daniel Bryan said, I'm going to take back the best in the world crown from your buddy CM Punk that I held for ages, which is brilliant callback to where like Daniel Bryan is literally considered the best pure wrestler of all time and one of the best wrestlers of all time. From his Ring of Honor days, building into his WWE days, he said, I'm going to take back being the best wrestler in the world. This is just everything it needs to be. Thank you very much. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. I am getting on this Daniel Bryan hype train. I was never really, I love Daniel Bryan, but Kieran is a fanboy, and I'm finally starting to like truly appreciate him through watching his old matches, plus appreciating his character right now.
He is the rare instance of an indie wrestler coming to WWE and fully adapting to that environment, becoming a great character in his own right, and just becoming probably one of the wrestling's greats, like all-time great.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Him and Kurt Angle. Would you go as far as saying Shawn Michaels? I think you have to put him up there.
Michaels, so I can't really judge. I think Michael's work was like up and down.
Him and Kurt Angle are definitely two of the best in history, purely down to how they adapted to a lot of different characters, and plus their pure wrestling speaks for itself. Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle in their prime, my God. Oh my shit. Sorry for saying that because it can't happen, but fuck me. Let's talk a bit of news. I'll get up to news and see if there's any main storyline before we talk a bit of AEW, because I'm loving AEW, Mom. But you can kick us off with news if you have any stories, Kieran.
The Wrestling Observer Awards.
Right, you take.
They're really funny, and it's it's no surprise, obviously, and they don't matter. They genuinely do not matter at all, because it is just like, you know, the overlap between people who love AEW and in their heart of hearts and hate WWE, and people who would subscribe to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, it's not even a Venn diagram, it's just a circle. So it's no surprise what any of these results are, but like seeing people lose their minds over it is so fucking funny.
Oh man. And then
Cody Rhodes, the official AEW Twitter account, both tweet congratulations Tony Khan for winning Best Booker is so fucking funny to me. And Tony Khan having been like, this is my childhood dream, is just like, it's you cannot even write a parody of it, because it's literally just like, it's like going to the world premiere of a Marvel movie and asking someone if they enjoy Marvel movies or not, like if they prefer Marvel or DC. It's just such a pointless waste of time, effort, and just the seriousness people are taking from it. It's so funny to me.
I love AEW right now, and it's the best show. It's the best weekly television show. But they got their dick sucked really good here. Like, Jesus Christ. First of all, it's a fan vote, so it threw up some funny moments where The Fiend was both in the best wrestler list and the worst wrestler.
Jim Ross would be fourth best and fourth worst commentator right now, apparently.
Fuck that. And one of the ones that I found strange, even I don't watch New Japan much, but Gato was not the second best booker of the year. Fuck that. No way.
AEW Dark or Being the Elite are better weekly TV than fucking SmackDown.
Oh, best box office draw, Conor McGregor. Fuck you.
I can see that. No, I can genuinely see that.
Bryan Danielson Award went to Zack Sabre Jr. Bruiser Brody Memorial Award, John Moxley. Best High-Flying Wrestler, Rey Fénix. Most Overrated, Bray Wyatt. Most Underrated, Ricochet. Rookie of the Year, Pat McAfee. Best Non-Wrestler, Taz. TV Announcer, Excalibur. I agree. Worst TV Announcer, Michael Cole. Revolution was Major Wrestling. Worst Major Wrestling, so Super Showdown. Best Wrestling Maneuver, The One-Winged Angel, because Kenny is in his pants. And most disgusting promotional tactic was WWE firing people during a pandemic in a year when they were setting profit records.
Yeah, that was a really weird promotional tactic. Yeah.
Yeah. Best booker.
Also, the Young Bucks are bigger a draw than Khabib. It's fucking madness and just so insane.
Yeah, best pro wrestling book, The Young Bucks. Best documentary, Dark Side of the Ring. I think David Arquette would have had a thing to say about it, but the Owen Hart Dark Side of the Ring was very good. And season 3 lineup looks amazing, Kieran. I don't know if we've talked about that, but the season 3 lineup looks great. I'm looking forward to it. But one of them that really caught my eye was, where are we? We talked about the worst gimmick and best gimmick and shit like that. But promoter of the year, Tony Khan. And I heard people talking about this. Let's be real. Like, Vince is a dick. But if you secure another $1 billion TV deal, that's promoter of the year, kind of. Like, Tony Khan, great booker. Fantastic booker and deserved that.
Gato didn't deserve number two. But promoter, like, they stayed in the same place in Jacksonville because of the pandemic. But during the pandemic, although he fired a lot of people and he is a dickhead, yeah. I mean, if you're defining promoter, getting a $1 billion deal with Peacock kind of qualifies as kind of a great promoter. And that's another one that was kind of contentious. But it was so stupid. And it was so funny seeing people getting actually angry about a man's opinion. This is all a man's opinion. Like, let's not forget about that.
Doesn't have a vote, does he? It's just fan opinions, right?
It's fan opinions, but it's got Dave Meltzer's name on it, and it's funny. And my favorite thing was the rehashing of this tweet. Did you see this, Kieran?
So someone tweeted Dave Meltzer in 2 hours after the awards were out. Dave Meltzer, been asking the same question again and again. What was the reason behind not rating HBK versus Taker at WrestleMania 25 a perfect 5-star match? Dave Meltzer quote tweeted, because I've been watching wrestling a long time, I've been seeing numerous matches better. Someone tweeted him, I was at that match and it's probably the best memory of my life. Dave Meltzer replied, mine was my kids being born and getting awards, sex with people who shall be left unnamed, and Fry versus Takayama. Fucking brilliant.
You genuinely can't tell if he's like having a joke or not, or if he's 100% serious. I love that about
the best thing about the Wrestling Observer is Brian Alvarez shitting all over WWE and loving AEW and never criticizing them no matter what they do.
Or he'll do something like he criticized the commentary for an NXT match, and then his co-host had to correct him as there was no commentary on that match.
Oh yeah, and then there's the one, if you look at the Wrestling Observer video, there's also a famous one where he was talking and there's just a guy like coked out of his mind on the couch behind him, like out cold, just out cold behind them. But anyway, another bit of wrestling news, interesting bit of wrestling news, Kieran. I don't know if you saw this today. I'm going to ask you to look him up in a minute just to give your real-time reaction. But for the first time in nearly a year and a half, at an appearance at a wrestling event, Lariato Pro Wrestling on Saturday, an event booked through Impact Plus, so it was on the Impact Plus app, Enzo Amore was getting beaten down by a lot of people, and who made the save for him but Hernandez, and making his return for the first time in 18 months since chasing Joey Janela around a indie show saying he was going to shoot him in the head and kill him. Big Cass.
I did see this. He looks like he's in great shape. I really, really hope he's like, you know, mentally a lot more stable and better.
He is yoked, dude. Mm. That man, I mean, I'm not going to stand here and say that looks natural, because it doesn't. Those shoulders are huge. But Jesus, he's jacked. Enzo looks bigger as well. Bit of a gut. Oh, he's got a roid gut on him, I'm not going to lie, Enzo. Like, Cass is trim in the belly, but Enzo's got a roid belly. I'm not. Listen, their ship kind of sailed. Of course, there's going to be WWE rumors, but both of them, they were so good when we didn't know the backstage. And that's wrestling. We were so good when we didn't know the backstage, but I don't think I could get as invested in them. I don't think anyone get invested in them anymore as like before, due to just their outside the ring conduct. You know what I mean?
Were a persona, weren't they? That was a lot of the appeal. And with that gone, I feel like that's kind of irreparable.
Yeah, and of course, Big Cass, a lot of his problems where he kind of fell off the rail were due to depression and anxiety, and that's not something that should be scoffed at. A lot of people do. So, like, jobs do get cost because people can't do their jobs probably because of mental health issues, and I completely understand that. But listen, if he gets a lot of bookings on the indies as Enzo and Cass, and they do their thing and make a lot of money, fair play to them. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't be as invested in them, and I don't think a lot of companies are going to touch them. I mean, people, like, if they do sell tickets, then WWE would be smart to bring them back. But listen, it's not something I'll be like begging for or tweeting about, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
look, as long as Cass is happy right now and he's in a good place mentally, that's all that's really important, isn't it?
Yep, happy and healthy. There was a lot of New Japan shows. We won't really talk about them because I haven't seen much of them. There was some good stuff. Moxley beat Kenta in a fantastic match on the New Japan USA New Beginning show, so Moxley still has that belt. Fair play to him. It was quite interesting to see that he still had the belt because a lot of people thought he was going to drop it. But Moxley wants to fight your nan, your dog, and your auntie at the moment. He just wants to fight anyone, and it's great to see. I'm loving everything about Mox. William Regal's son debuted in NXT UK this week.
Any good?
He's a beefy boy. He's got a deep American accent, which people were surprised by, even though William Regal lived in America most of his life. He went one-on-one with Tyler Bate on NXT UK and came out just short. And he wasn't great on the promos, but he was a young boy in Japan, Kieran. So you can imagine how like he's a built man and very, very good old school wrestling, just like his dad. So anything else that we wanted to talk about before? Did you have anything else on your mind, Kieran? Or I'm just looking through this spreadsheet here of all the news.
Big Show, Paul White is AEW.
Of course. Completely. It links into... All right, I just want to get this report up. So Big Show is signed with AEW. It was just out of nowhere, Paul White is AEW. The funniest moment being Mick Foley tagging the wrong AEW and instead tagging a Scottish politician when he was saying congratulations to Big Show. But Paul White is signed. He's going to be a part of the commentary team for the new AEW Dark Elevation, which seems to be maybe a dark... It's below Dark because there's a lot of big names on Dark and it's used to build up win-loss records. Maybe this is for like a lot of people coming straight out of the Nightmare Factory, which is a training school with QT Marshall, as he likes to be called, and like Cody Rhodes' training school. Maybe this is for a few people that are a little bit more inexperienced. And listen, AEW hasn't really put a foot wrong when it comes to developmental. Yes, Dark is 14 matches, but it's a fantastic experience for a lot of indie wrestlers, and it has been, and it's been good to build up win-loss records. So I'm not going to judge it until I see it, because I think they've done great stuff with their developmental. And adding Paul White, which just, he was offered a Legends contract. He's probably cost himself the Hall of Fame for now. It was a big move. It's the first big WWE legend that's moved ship to, like, if you get me, Karen, like current, like someone who was like kind of still on the, like he was fought McIntyre last year. As in, like, Jay St. Roberts was past this. A lot of the people were, Vicky Guerrero was kind of moved on. Sting was
a bit, but he was still a WWE name.
Yeah, Sting, but this is the first kind of direct kind of move, whereas like Sting was WCW guy, he only fought WWE once. This was a big move and a kind of a ballsy move. Hopefully it doesn't cost him his WWE Hall of Fame. No,
there's no way it would. Of course it wouldn't. Like the second he leaves or whatever happened, like he's getting in there, no problem.
Yeah, so fair play to him. And he, the Shaq match with Cody and Jay Cargill and a red velvet, is next week. And I wouldn't be surprised if Big Show came out at the end and challenged Shaq. I mean, like, let's just call it spade a spade. They wanted to do that match for a long time. So WWE announced the latest Performance Center class, Kieran. Very interesting signees. They announced a record 27 people have signed, which is interesting because they fired a lot of people earlier in the year and now they're rehiring. So, Kieran, from the top, we have Bronson Reichsteiner, who might not sound like a name to you, but that's Rick Steiner's son.
Oh.
Big boy, beefy boy. Taya Valkyrie, big John Morrison's former Impact Knockout champion, John Morrison's wife, and very decent wrestler from Impact and Lucha Underground, was her best work. L.A. Knight was, of course, Eli Drake, who is so out of place in NXT, and I don't want to see anything about him, not gonna lie. Probably the most interesting signing for a lot of people, Parker Boudreau, is Brock Lesnar lookalike that Paul Heyman scouted. Huge guy. Anthony Henry, because WWE have announced that NXT Evolve is launching. And Anthony Henry was a big Evolve champion. Harlem Bravado. Don't know. Zoe Stark. She's already had a few matches on NXT. She's kind of building a bit of a character. Christian Casanova, apparently a very good indie wrestler. G.D. Dolan, formerly known as Priscilla Kelly. Drew Casper, Cora Jade, Gigi Dolan and Cora Jade were both in the Mae Young Classic. Not the Mae Young Classic and the Dusty Women's Cup. Blake Christian, big signing here because he was doing a lot of the New Japan USA shows and was brilliant in GCW. Cameron Clay, Joe Ariola, Avery Taylor and Carissa Rivera. They have been reporting to the Performance Center very soon. So big class of people coming. So that's interesting. This Elevation show of Paul White is set to debut on March 15th, apparently. Updated AW. We'll go through AW Revolution while we're going through.
Evolve.
It's basically, do you remember Evolve? Remember the show Evolve? The kind of indie show that kind of Gabe Sapolsky had, and it was kind of linked to WWE because they got a lot of ties. They got a lot of talent there. It seems to be just one of them kind of shows that they get a bit of talent on. I'm not, there hasn't been too many details revealed about it yet, but anyway, it is what it is. But I think it's time to talk a bit of AEW and NXT, Karen. So I'm going to take you through another brilliant, AEW, listen, NXT, we're going to be transparent here. I talked to Benno, and when you hear the Benno, like the podcast of Benno, we both like agreed, like, even though we're like, we podcast, sometimes when you're not invested in a product, you're not like, I don't watch NXT the full show anymore. It's unfortunately NXT has suffered as a product. There's Finn Balor has picked it up by its arse, but AEW is something that I watch live, and if I can live every week, because they're doing some very good stuff. Whereas NXT, apart from the Undisputed Era stuff, which is very interesting, we'll get on to, and the Finn Balor stuff and the odd tag match, it's very hard to get invested in it right now because it just seems quite stagnant. But, you know, let's get on to AEW. It opened with Jon Moxley versus Ryan Nemeth. Ryan Nemeth is always on Twitter saying that he's angry that Dolph Ziggler, he keeps getting compared to Dolph Ziggler. But Jon Moxley, basically, this was just to set Moxley up. You know, Kieran, it's just Moxley to show off straight off Bloodsport and announcing the Josh Barnett match ahead of his exploding barbed wire match. Moxley got a few reps in, just showing how good he was. He beat him with a paradigm shift. And Mox cut an amazing promo afterwards. Like a 3 minute promo. Asking them what images, he asked the fans what images come to mind when they think exploding barbed wire death match. He said, I'm an addict. I'm like living close to the fame is a feeling I can't get enough of. It's too attractive. I can't resist it. And he said, even if it was a trap by Omega and his boys, you know, when all is said and done, I gave everything I had for everyone here. Just another amazing Mox promo and just proof. The last few weeks have just been proof why he is one of the best in the world and deserves the spot at the top of that ranking and the whatever the Meltzer Awards and whatever the PWI 500. He just proved over the last few weeks any doubt is wrong, Kieran, that he is just the shit. And Jon Moxley, it has been announced that as well as barbed wire and detonators on the ropes, there will be detonators on the floor as well. Which all but confirms that this match will be taking place inside the stadium because they cannot have this in Daly's Place. They're definitely having it in the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium. And Kieran, I want to get your take on the next segment because I love this. I don't know if you've seen this, but Sting.
Yeah, he came down on like a zip wire, right?
So basically, Brian Cage and Ricky Starks beat the... Damn it, what are they? The Varsity Blondes. Griff Garrison, Brian Pillman, I'm very big fans of them in the ring. I'm very sorry for getting that. But I'm really, really enjoying Griff Garrison in the ring. Pillman's good, but Griff Garrison looks like someone who you can add to that Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, MJF list of someone who's a future of the company. Really enjoying him. So they won, and Sting was in the building, and Sting, after the match, this was brilliant, Kieran. A video vignette. Remember last week when Darby Allin got dragged away in the body bag? That happened. A video vignette aired in which Sting retrieved Darby Allin for a body bag in the desert, and Darby Allin was smiling, and Sting appeared producing a body bag, and he opened it, and Hook was inside, unconscious, and Darby Allin came in on a fucking zip wire, and landed in the ring, and the MVP of this segment was the cameraman. Because Darby Allin did this really cool thing where he smacked Cage and he smacked Ricky Starks with the skateboard. Really cool, really smooth. But then, as you'd expect, as someone who probably doesn't use a grapple hook every day, he struggled to get it off. But the camera cut straight away to Sting beating up Brian Cage while Darby Allin got the hook off. Brilliant. It saved the segment and it kept the heat on the segment. Then Sting hit a stinger. The man who we, spinal stenosis, you know, we're a bit risking it. We're hoping the powerbomb was okay. Stinger splash, Scorpion death drop to Brian Cage. Really happy to see this. If this is his, if his matches are going to be the greatest hits and cinematic street fights, then yes, please, because he does them really well. And it was great to see him be able to hit that stinger splash, because that's the move that kind of goes, you're like, if he's hitting a stinger splash, then he should be okay. This was fantastic. I love to see it. And Kieran, I don't know, I don't know if you'd echo that sentiment, whereas in, if Sting just comes out, hits Scorpion death drop and a stinger splash, and the rest of it is cinematic matches and kind of managerial roles, that's what we like to see.
I don't know. I'm very iffy on him wrestling at all, but like, if he thinks he can do it, go ahead. But I don't know. If we see him get paralyzed in the ring, just, I told you so, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that I never thought I'd say, but Jake Hager and Brandon Cutler wasn't bad. Really, yeah. not too bad at all. But then afterwards, Santana and Ortiz and Wardlow hit the ring and beat down Cutler in a message to the Young Bucks. Matt and Nick Jackson came out and like kind of helped Brandon Cutler. And then, okay. Screen comes on. Earlier in the night, the first thing we see is the Young Bucks arriving at the arena with their dad and their mom. Jericho and MJF appear on the screen, and they have Papa Buck in their hands, bleeding from his head, but clearly ketchup, like really badly done, clearly ketchup, like Papa Buck marking out, doing his Ric Flair moment with a load of ketchup. But yeah, and then they threw him against the production truck, and he did that kind of, you know, Kieran, you know, like the movie dramatic fall down. You know, if someone gets pushed into a wall, they do that kind of slide down the wall. He did that kind of dramatic kind of slide down the wall, and there was like fake blood or ketchup or whatever it was, and the Bucks kind of ran out, and they kind of, it was basically the truck had the Young Bucks on it, so there was, they were throwing their dad against the Bucks. And then the Bucks came out, and as Matt Jackson chased MJF and Jericho, who were in a getaway vehicle, away. Ugh, I mean, I just don't like this. I having Santana and Ortiz as an afterthought, and having this not even being your best tag team on the division, it says a lot, and it speaks for itself. I'm not going to complain about Jericho every week, but yeah.
I will, man.
Until he goes away for a while and comes back with something different, I'm just over it. But now I'm getting on to something that I loved. And Kieran, you know, segment. This is chapter 456 of this Hangman Page storyline is booked perfectly, because Hangman Page fought Isaiah Cassidy, the Private Party's Isaiah Cassidy, who's obviously aligned with Matt Hardy. Hybrid 2 are obviously paid off by Matt Hardy. We're watching from ringside. And this was a fantastic match. This was all built around Kieran. You know the way Hangman hits this buckshot lariat. Isaiah Cassidy worked on the arm and basically incapacitated Hangman Page's arm to the point where he couldn't use it. And I was worried that he was going to hit this buckshot lariat late in the match and insult our intelligence, because that's what WWE would do. That's what a lot of people do, where you sell a body part and then you just use it. You know, if someone sells a leg and then you see them hit a super kick or something, it's like, cheers, lads. I mean, we just didn't see him get his leg smashed into the ground. But yeah, so this was all about Hangman's arm. They worked around it, and he's trying to get back. Hardy got involved and pushed Page into the show, into the post. Dark Order hit the ring. The people who love Hangman Page, and Hangman Page isn't ready to accept them, and helped get Matt Hardy ejected from ringside by Aubrey Edwards. And Hangman selling the arm brilliantly brought back the Deadeye, the finisher move he hasn't used in ages. So he didn't use the buckshot lariat because his arm was hurt, and he can't be using that arm for that buckshot lariat in this match. Hit him with the Deadeye and won the match. Perfect psychology. Really cool storyline with the Dark Order. Hardy cut a promo after the match, came back out, and he said he's going to vow to hurt every member of the Dark Order, which is weird because Matt Hardy is saying that Hangman has joined the Dark, has sided with the Dark Order, but Hangman hasn't actually sided with the Dark Order yet. He knows that they're being nice to him, but he hasn't fully committed. And yep. Matt Hardy said, I'm going to injure all the Dark Order, starting with one. And he brought out Allen Angels, number five, and threw him through a table. And Allen Angels took a hell of a bump. And Hangman went over and attended to him along with the Dark Order. Listen, say it every week. I'm not, we're tight for time, but yeah, listen. Just keep going with the way you're doing this feud. You're keeping Hangman under the main event. He's going to join the Dark Order, and it's going to go wrong for him, and then he's going to build his way back up, and I just can't wait. This is perfectly booked. A great match next. Britt Baker and Lyla Rose for the semi-finals of the United States bracket of the tournament, which will culminate at next week on Dynamite, because there's a show tomorrow with the semi-finals. And then it's going to culminate with the final on Wednesday, and the winner is going to go on and face Shida at Revolution on the 7th of March. Britt Baker defeated Nyla Rose in a really, really good match. It's safe to say that the women's division has improved. It's improved very, very much due to the addition of people like Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb. Sorry?
Will it fall apart once the tournament ends, though?
I don't know, man, but I'm really happy to see that they've really got a foothold in their women's division and they've got some really cool stuff. So, listen, we'll be positive for now. And then, this was another great main event. AEW have a habit of just a string of really, really good TV matches. Face of the Revolution ladder match qualifier. So the winner would be in the ladder match of Revolution. Rey Fénix versus Lance Archer, Kieran, and this was just your perfect big man, little man match. Rey Fénix is on another level now. He's proven why he will be a champion one day. He is a brilliant babyface. Lance Archer is a babyface. It's something we never knew we wanted, but it's brilliant. And Kieran, we talk about, there's a lot of criticism from like people are like, why do they always bring in these managers? Jake Roberts came in and Lance Archer was kind of this heel. And now Lance Archer doesn't need Jake Roberts. They built him up so well. And it's all down to Lance Archer and a little bit down to Jake Roberts, obviously his guidance. Lance Archer can go out on his own now and we'd be fantastic because this match was brilliant. Rey Fénix selling his ass off, flying around the ring. Lance Archer doing his shit. And the chops, the kicks, the transitions, the thing where Fénix runs across the rope and kicks someone in the head. But it ended with the blackout and Lance Archer picks up the win. Lance Archer's going to be the big man in that ladder match. So right now it's Pentagon, Cody Rhodes, Scorpio Sky and Lance Archer in the match. So there's three more participants and Tony Khan is keeping one secret. So that should be interesting.
Who's the secret one?
I don't know. I have no idea, man. I honestly, I don't know who's out on the market right now. I'm just hoping. I want to get a real surprise pop. So I'm going to try and not read the kind of the rumor mill as much as I can because I'm really looking forward to this pay-per-view. It's shaping up to be a fantastic pay-per-view. I love both Fénix and Lance Archer and this was a fantastic main event, Ken. Well done, well done, AW. That was a really, really enjoyable show this week. And now, Kieran, I want to bring you in. We knew it was all but confirmed, but with one swift punch in the balls, the Undisputed Era, it started the fully formation, the full formation, the full full formation of Undisputed Era began with Roderick Strong turning on Pete Dunne and grabbing that armband off Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly's big sweaty face looking so surprised and so happy. And it ends with a swift kick in the balls from Adam Cole to Roderick Strong on NXT. How do you feel?
A little sad, but a little like at least this faction or whatever hasn't really had any bad run. You know, like maybe if they got to the main roster, it just wouldn't have worked at all. But now they're kind of solidified in this like little perfect period of what, 4 years, 3 years,
for sure. 3.5 because they debuted at Brooklyn 3 against Drew McIntyre and then they kind of fully formed at Mania weekend, right? Was it Mania week? Mania weekend was the Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne tag match. So like the full formation was about 3 years. Keep it up.
So like we do kind of have this like little perfect stretch of, you know, one of the best factions in wrestling history, and it'll always be that, and it'll stay like that forever, and it's never going to be ruined by the horrible hands of, you know, Vince McMahon,
Vincent Kennedy McMahon. But yeah, anyway, Johnny Gargano fought Dexter Lumis for the bazillionth time. I'm just not interested whatsoever in Johnny Gargano.
Really? I thought you loved him.
Yeah. I will actively turn off the TV if he comes on now. Xia Li and KC, No Mask Cesaro, continued their thing. Earlier in the show, James Drake and Zach Gibson attacked MSK and injured Wesley. So Wesley has a broken hand, and that's why their match is being postponed, which I assume is kind of working it into a story where MSK can't fight Burch and Larkin for the titles yet because they're trying to like save it for a Mania, a takeover. So they're kind of like ruling MSK out with injury just to kind of prolong that. GYV GYV beat Maverick and Dane by pinning Maverick. The street fight between Karrion Kross and Santos Escobar finally happened. It was a weird feud, the way these are both heels, but it was a great street fight. I mean, like, Karrion Kross destroyed Legado del Fantasma, baited them from pillar to post. Santos Escobar tried to hide in a truck, and Karrion Kross conveniently found a crowbar underneath the wheel and smashed the door in. Mendoza and Wild were the MVPs, though. They sold like fuck here, and they were getting thrown around here, there, and everywhere, like thrown into like this CWC barricade over and over again. Karrion Kross picked up the win, which as expected, because he's on his quest to get Balor's belt. Adam Cole explained himself, I've been up for work early, so excuse the yawns. I wasn't that bored about NXT. I mean, it wasn't great, but I wasn't that bad. Adam Cole just kind of explained it. And Finn Balor ran down and tried to tackle Cole. And Cole nailed Balor with a super kick. And then obviously Cole hugged him and then kicked him in the dick. And a low blow and a super kick. And the Undisputed Era has imploded. Tony Storm also came out and challenged Io Shirai to a singles match. So she said Mercedes Martinez didn't pin me, blah blah blah. I get the singles match. You're scared. You haven't asked Regal for the match. You're scared, bitch. So that's probably gonna go down soon. So yeah. Sadly, Kieran, NXT is, the positives are few and far between right now. But you know, unfortunately, you can't have good all the time. Sometimes it has to be a bit of filler. But where do you see the on this? I mean, the obvious thing is on the Undisputed Era is Kyle O'Reilly versus Finn Balor, but like, is there anything else you'd like to see play out in front of our eyes in terms of this Undisputed Era thing? You clearly are a big fan of them. What would have to happen for you to go, yeah, that Undisputed Era thing was just fine? Is it enough to have a brilliant storyline ending with Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole having this barn burner of a match or a barn burner of a feud? Or are they going to do a triple threat where it's Kyle versus Roddy versus Cole, or what is going to satisfy you as someone who loved the Undisputed Era?
If you're going to take Kyle out, you can't just like have a B two of them and they're just still, or two or three of them and they're just still the Undisputed Era. If you're going to do it for good. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Do I want to leave that with you for a week and you can tell us when we can open the show with that next week? Plus or something.
2 weeks, I guess.
What? Kieran won't be here next week, so I will 100% have someone in to preview AEW with me. Sadly, Kieran's jumping ship. You know, he's gonna start his own podcast.
I'm over to a legend, actually.
Yeah, come on, transfer. Yeah, it costs nothing. But yeah, no, I'm messing. You're priceless. If you have an answer now, then yeah, but I'll leave it with you for a few weeks because it's still raw, you know. Undisputed Era breaking up is interesting, but you know, if that's going to... Listen, Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly is a match that has been proven to be fantastic, so...
It is a match.
Yeah, so yeah. As you can tell, we're kind of winding down. We're both very, very tired. I think we've discussed a lot of wrestling. We discussed, obviously, the politics. Hopefully, Politics Corner won't have to come back soon enough. Something tells me it will. But yeah, Kieran, let's get into more happy things. Let's get into the plugs. Have you got anything that you want to recommend this week?
I actually only watched bad movies this week, so I don't. If you have a Switch, play Super Mario 3D World. That game is fucking amazing. It's Oh, I really love it. Plus, I think it has like a Bowser's Journey or something, Bowser Fury DLC that I haven't gotten around to yet.
I'm looking forward to that Mario Golf, that release on Nintendo. I know everyone was angry about the Nintendo thing, but Mario Golf sounds cool. I've never played it.
That's different. I'm curious about it.
Yeah. Did you see the AEW Games thing this week?
What are they doing with that?
Oh, no, but the video pack, Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler were clearly really drunk. It was funny. It was really... Yeah, this could see in the game. We'll talk about that next week because we don't have time, but anything else you want to plug?
No, I don't think so. Listen, right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen to favorite band.
Yeah, I have a few because, you know, I do as always. Obviously, this week we had a fundraiser on College Radio for Jigsaw Mental Health Charity for people between 15 and 25 for 2 more days. As of tonight, it's going to be kept open. So if you have any spare change, I know it's hard during the pandemic, but donate because people are going to need it now whenever young people are. Like, Jigsaw do a very, very good job. Sadly, the government doesn't pay. I feel anyway, they don't pay attention to the mental health services they should, but Jigsaw does a fantastic job. So please donate anything you can to them. If you can't, donate to the nurses as well, because they are going to need it over the next few weeks with idiots making cases rise. So please just be nice to people as well. Speaking of good people, we talked a lot about bad people, but there's a lot of good people doing good stuff out there. My friends in college, Matthew and Ruby, are starting a podcast called What in the World Is, where they've brought on, like, the first episode is about the Leaving Cert. They're basically doing podcasts where they bring on a lot of people, like TDs and students and stuff, and people who are experienced in the topics that they're talking about, to educate people on the topics and kind of raise awareness, which is a fantastic thing to do when a lot of times there's a lot of information clouded. So the first episode is about the Leaving Cert. I'll leave the link in the description. Go check it out. It's a fantastic episode and it's really, really informative. The TD Aon O'Riordan was on, Kieran, and the preview clip was he literally likened the handling of the Leaving Cert to a Debs committee. And I was like, you fucking legend. Because I've been waiting on my money back from the Debs for fucking ages. I'm so past it.
Oh, well, I shouldn't talk about that on air. But that's not going to happen. We're not getting that back.
I'm so past it. It's unreal. But anyway, yeah. So just go and check that out because they're doing some fantastic stuff. Ruby and Matthew are fantastic. Second of all, Tom Foolery podcast, the lads, Moorish, K.E., Ethan, James, and Louise are doing fantastic. Their second episode was about AI and it was fantastic. They're brilliant people and the Tom Foolery podcast is just doing some great shit and the radio show is doing great shit as well. So go and check that out as always. And yeah, go and check out my YouTube video. I got really bored and I have an addictive personality. Sadly, some people's addictive personality means they go into town and protest about lockdowns and shit. But my addictive personality means I made a fake interview with a football celebrity and it went quite well. It's currently on over 200 views and I'm quite proud of it. So I've entered it into a competition that the awards is on Friday. So please go check that out. That was an 18-hour turnaround in doing that. So I was really happy with it. And yeah, just go and support us, support everyone on Project Dates, Ringsiders as always. We love those boys. Alleged recently got last night, Alleged are now an affiliate on Twitch. They're making money off Twitch, which is really cool to see. We love to see it. So just go support all our good boys. And Kieran, I think it's time to take it home because I want to get this podcast out and relax. We love to listen. Life is full of dickheads, but for all the dickheads there's great people in the world. Focus on the great people because good things happen to good people. The bad times will not last forever, and we'll be back in good times hopefully soon with a vaccine in our arm and a pint in our hand. So love yous all.
Yeah, well, I've been Kieran Brennan, your host. With me is always my co-host.
The man that genetics forgot and the man that genetics is increasingly forgetting every day in this lockdown, Ryan.
And as we say at the end of every episode of the Hollerson Podcast, focus on the people who do good.
We love to see it.